My text is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Who controls the weather? Is it in the hands of chance, time, and the environment? Does man in some way cause it to rain upon the earth? Some people believe that by use of huge bursts of radio waves, the Russians make it rain. Others would say that rain is caused by the dropping of dry ice into the clouds. Some others think that rain is caused by a savage doing a rain dance. Still others would hold that too much or too little rain is determined by how much the preacher's paid. All atheists contend that rain is a matter of blind chance. I find all of these human explanations unacceptable. My text gives the most satisfactory explanation of all. The covenant God is the rainmaker. Heathen gods cannot make it rain upon the earth, not even Pluvius. The so-called rain god can make it rain. Baal could not make it rain in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. Only God can make it rain. Even the lightning, the wind, and the clouds and evaporation are mere secondary causes of rain. The efficient cause is the amazing rainmaker. I want to speak first of all in this message about the proprietor of rain. What is rain? Rain is the water that falls out of the clouds and drops upon the earth. Moisture is constantly being taken up into the air from the earth's surface. This process is called evaporation. This water vapor cannot be seen. It is mixed with other gases in the air and carried upward by the wind. When this moisture-loaded air rises, it cools. As air rises and cools, the amount of water vapor that it can hold decreases. If the rising and cooling continues long enough, the air will become saturated. If the air is cool below that point, it is said to reach the dew point. Then the water vapors condense into tiny particles of water dust. This water dust is then seen in the form of clouds. A still greater cooling of the air will cause the tiny particles to unite into drops so large and heavy that they fall to the earth. This is the manner in which God sends rain upon the earth. Job declared, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out, for he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly." That's Job 36:26-28. The Lord asked Job later in the book, in chapter 38, "Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth, where no man is, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Who hath begotten the dew?" Well did the psalmist write in Psalms 147, verse 7 and 8, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the earth with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains." God forms the clouds and makes them have the various degrees of density. Out of these clouds he prepares the rain, with his eye on the fields of the earth. He sends down the raindrops upon Goshen's fertile plains and the height of Carmel. He causes the raindrops to be the irrigators of the meadows and the mountains. He does all of this because he alone is the rainmaker. In the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, we find that lightning or electricity causes rain. when he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. That's Job 28, 26, and 27. Only within the last 30 years have meteorologists learned that electricity causes droplets of moisture to combine into raindrops. This is why the lightning and the thunder are associated with rain. The Bible is not out of date. It is the only book in the world which is always up to date. Other Old Testament passages mention lightning or electricity as a secondary cause of rain. Psalms 135 and verse 7 reads, He causeth the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. In Jeremiah 51 and 16 it is written, When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the earth, and he causeth the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasuries. No man can prevent the rain upon the earth. A mere mortal cannot wish for a shower and suddenly cause it to rain. Rainfall is something which resides within the sovereign will of God. Ecclesiastes 11 and 3 tells us, If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. The Lord asked Job, Who can stay the bottles of heaven? This question from God shows that he was the rainmaker. Neither men nor angels can prevent God from giving rain upon the earth and water upon the fields. Even the sins of men cannot prevent rain from falling when God is determined to send it. The Scripture tells us that God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust in Matthew 5:45. Then I wish to speak some of the pedigree of rain. Until Noah entered the ark, there had never been any rain upon the earth. Genesis 2, 5 and 6 relates, For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist out of the earth and watered the face of the ground. As originally created, the earth's daily water supply came from local evaporation and condensation. Doubtless the change in temperature between daytime and nighttime was adequate to energize daily evaporation and its condensation as dew and fog each night. But when Noah entered the ark, God sent a mighty rain, drowning the world that then was. The drops of rain from heaven are so common to us that we take them for granted. But God is not confined to just sending water from heaven. It is within his power to literally cause it to rain cats and dogs. In extraordinary cases, he has been known to send rains of a very strange sort. Genesis 19 and 24 reveals a time when God rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire. In Psalms 11 and 6, the Lord warns the wicked that he will at some future day rain fire and brimstone on them. During the wilderness journey, the children of Israel, the Lord rained down manna and flesh. When Israel was slaves in Egypt, the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, killing plants, animals, and people. In the coming day of the great battle of God Almighty, Jehovah will destroy the Russian invaders of Palestine with rain and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. The rainmaker can make it rain whatever he wants it to rain from heaven. It is within the power of the rainmaker to send either a small or a large rain. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. Job 37, 5 and 6. Rain is at all times under the command of God. His will and power are seen as much in a small summer shower as in a spring flood. The sovereign rainmaker sends 200 to 600 inches of rain on the southern slopes of the Himalayan mountains in India in a year, and he sends no rain in the deserts of the southwestern United States. The rainmaker sends 223 thunderstorms a year on the island of Java, and none on the deserts of western Australia. It is Jehovah's prerogative to send a flood or a drought. He could drown the whole world in our generation, just as he did in Noah's day. But thank God for his rainbow, which is a sign that he will never destroy the world again by water. Then I want to speak of the purpose of rain. The rainmaker sends rain for a threefold purpose: to judge his people, to bless his people, and to water his land. This is seen in Job 37, 10 to 13. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the water is straightened. Also, by watering, he weareth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud. He causes it to come down, whether for a correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Rainfall is essential to agriculture and plant growth. God promised the nation of Israel, "Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." Leviticus 26, verse 4. The farmer depends upon the needful rain at the proper season for his fall harvest. When rain comes in its proper season, it causes the trees to yield their fruit, and the fruit of the grain and the vineyards and all of that mature well. Rain from heaven is God's blessings upon the land. In a sermon in Acts 14, verses 15 and 17, Paul said, "God left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Rain and fruitful seasons are not by chance. It is not even the heavens that give us rain, but God who gives us rain from heaven. Rain is from the rain God. If it were not for the rainmaker, earth would be one vast scene of desolation. The rainmaker causes rain to come down in a mighty flood to drive men and beasts to shelter for rest and relaxation. Elihu mentioned a great rain that sealeth up the hand of every man, when even the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Often a man will plan to work in his fields, to paint his house, or to do something else, only to be prevented by God sending a mighty rain. Ezra wrote of such a time when he said, "It is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without." Man makes his plans, but the rainmaker disposes. And then I want to speak some of the prayer for rain. As we've already seen in Job 37 and 13, rain is used by God for corrective purposes. The antediluvians were judged by means of a rain, which lasted 40 days and nights. In the days of Samuel the prophet, the Lord sent thunder and rain to convince Israel of her wickedness against God. These are two examples of corrective rain. There are times when God withholds the rain because of the immorality of his people. In Isaiah 5 and 6, Judah is pictured as a vineyard. Due to Judah's rebellion, Jehovah declared, "I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." In an attempt to restore backsliding Israel, the Lord God said in Amos 4 and 7, "And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there was yet 3 months to harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and I caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece there upon it rained not, withereth." To bring Israel to repentance, God sent them scattered showers. When there is a lack of rain, men grumble and complain about the God of providence. Even professed Christians are not free of this sin. When God withholds the rain because of his people's sins, he has promised to send rain upon confession and repentance. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 26 and 27 says, "When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thine people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto the people for an inheritance. At times, the lack of rain to purify the air and to water the ground is due to our unconfessed sins and prayerlessness. In Palestine, the former and latter rains are very important to agriculture. The former rain fell at seed time in autumn, and the latter rain fell in the spring, between March and May. If either rain failed, it was bad for the grower of crops. The Lord promised Israel that he would give them the former and latter rains to make their land fruitful. Nevertheless, he directed them to pray for these rains. Zechariah 10:1 we read, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field." They were not only to ask the clouds, or not just merely to ask the clouds or the stars for rain, but the rainmaker. They were bidden to ask him to fulfill his promise. When they would be engaged in the asking, he would give them showers of rain. The prophet Elijah realized that it would take something drastic to turn the hearts of the children of Israel back to God. Ahab and Jezebel had filled the land with idolatry and murdered God's prophets. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The prophet prayed definitely, perseveringly, and successfully. The Lord answered him in a great way, because he is a great rainmaker. Have you ever observed God's weather cycle? It is as old as the world. The weather's fair, and then it warms up, and the rain comes. Then the north wind driveth away the rain. The cool weather follows, and the warm and wet season is past, and then the whole cycle repeats itself over again. How stupendous is the work of the rainmaker! Then I want to talk some about the prospect of rain. The depraved man refuses to concede that God is the rainmaker. Even professed Christians who believe God controls the weather, they'll still gripe and grumble about either too much or too little rain. God is soon to silence these critics by the judgment of a 3.5-year drought. Following the rapture of the saints, the two witnesses will smite the earth with devastating droughts. Revelation 11:6 relates concerning them, "These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." In Revelation 11:3, we learn that their ministry is to last 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, according to the Jewish calendar. Elijah is one of these two witnesses, and he may very well repeat what he did in the days of King Ahab. Droughts and famines will reach an all-time high in the Great Tribulation. But when Christ returns and establishes the kingdom of God on earth, the scene is to undergo a sudden change. The millennium is going to be a time of ideal rainfall. The rainmaker is destined to demonstrate to all men, in a more direct fashion than ever before, his amazing power over the weather. And Joel discloses in chapter 2:23-26, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and flood shall be full, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and ye shall eat in plenty." The abundance of rain will restore the fertility of the land of Canaan. Palestine was once like the Garden of Eden. But for long centuries, the latter rains were withheld, making the land barren and desolate, scarcely able to sustain its scattered population. In our time, the latter rains have returned in such a measure as to make agriculture once again flourish. This is nothing but a mere drop in the bucket, though, in comparison to what will happen in the thousand-year reign of Christ. In that day, the vineyards, the olive yards, and the fig orchards, and all types of food producing plants will reach a new height in production. The blessing upon the land of Palestine will be so great that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Even in this time of proper rainfall, those nations that refuse to keep the Feast of Tabernacle will have no rain. Zechariah 14 tells us, "And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, then they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come up not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." The whole millennial reign is compared to rain coming down from heaven. Psalm 72, 6 and 8 tells us, "He shall come down like rain upon the mowed grass, as showers that water the earth. In his day shall the righteous flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 it is written, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, bring up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." The soil of man's heart is unopened and unbroken. By nature, man is impenitent and destitute of grace, and he needs the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Before the gospel seed can be planted, the Holy Spirit must break up the sinner's fallow ground and cause him to seek the Lord. The coming of Christ into the world was like rain. Hosea earlier declared how that the Lord would come as rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. Christ came down from heaven to give life to us. When we were dried and parched and withered, Christ came to open our hearts as a farmer opens the soil of his field with the plow. He came to prepare us to receive his divine precepts as the ground that is plowed is ready to receive the seed. He sends his Holy Spirit to rain peace and pardon by him. The Savior causes the elect to hunger and thirst for imputed righteousness that can only be given by Jesus Christ. Do you desire God's mercy? Do you hunger for acceptance before God? Do you long to reap righteousness? Do you think it's time to seek the Lord, and do you think it's time to serve him? Do the lines have fallen up on you in pleasant places? The Spirit of grace is at this moment come to rain righteousness upon you.